Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We're off and running on a new week. It's Monday, June 5th, 2023. Our show in our 13th year with the radio project in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, coming to you on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, when we do our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family, they do such a great job specializing in custom frame mirrors. We've got a couple in our home, beautifully done. They've got some beautiful art. Moe is a fantastic photographer. They do picture framing. Of course, that's kind of their signature part of the business. And if you don't want to put up the items yourself, Moe will come out, makes house calls, do the hanging service and hanging systems right for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview is with Dr. Sarah Lanius, a community safety, health, and wellness program director for the city of Tucson. Dr. Lanius operates out of the city manager's office. Mike Ortega, who will be our Friday Focus interview this Friday. But right now, it's Dr. Lanius with us. Dr. Lanius, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Bill.
This is a relatively new program. It was started about a year ago. Tell us a little bit about how it came to be, why it's necessary, and what you hope to accomplish.
Yeah, the program began in 2022, really at the direction of Tucson's mayor and council, who wanted to make sure that we were best coordinating internal efforts, as well as working with our external partners to do some unique problem solving, especially in the areas related to mental health, substance use, homelessness, and I would kind of add to that severe housing insecurity. And so we were able to start initially by improving some coordination amongst some really phenomenal problem solving teams that have existed in the city for a number of years. And this, you know, was part of a cross-departmental effort, you know, working with Tucson Police Department, Tucson Fire Department, our Public Safety Communications Department, or others might know them best as the 911 call center, and our Housing and Community Development Department. And so, you know, their teams, which include our mental health support team and substance use response team and homeless outreach team, all from TPD, and our Tucson Collaborative Community Care, or our TC3 team at Tucson Fire Department, which is a partnership with Tucson Medical Center, and our Housing First team and our Housing Outreach teams. And so I've had the pleasure of working with these really great professionals to, you know, find out how we can do more and do better. And it's an ongoing learning process for sure.
Wow, there's so much to unpack here. I mean, just the title of your program, Community Safety, Health, and Wellness, really covers so much. Why don't we begin with kind of, we have kind of a revamped 911 system. We had Ms. McDonough, the director, on the show earlier in the year, and that's kind of, she suggested definitely that we should have you on our Monday one-on-one to kind of continue with what they're doing over there. Where do you then pick up the ball after the 911, this kind of redo of the 911 system?
Yeah, thanks. You know, Sharon McDonough, our director at Public Safety Communications Department, has really been a fabulous leader in partnership, of course, with Chief Chuck Ryan at our fire department and Chief Chad Kazmar at our Tucson Police Department, in really helping us to rethink the way that we're handling calls coming into our 911 call center. And so this includes being able to do some really thoughtful review of what is an emergency versus what is urgent and how can we best handle those. And so we have been able to carve out a 24/7 community resource line that currently exists that can handle all sorts of city service needs, but increasingly also needs related to folks who are unsheltered or who need access to various social services. And so the community safety, health, and wellness teams that I mentioned earlier, as well as some additional staff who we've been able to bring on, are really helping to kind of fill some of the gaps there so that we can take calls that otherwise might be sent over to our patrol, to our police folks, but can instead go to individuals who are trained in behavioral health and really know the existing resources in our community and help to connect people with our nonprofit service providers in town.
And that line will be, when it's up and running, will be what? How will it be designated? That's called 311?
Yes. So in the fall, we'll be launching this publicly as 311. As an opportunity for members of the community to report a whole host of needs that they may have that typically now we find coming into our 911 call center. So that could be things like, you know, you see water spilling out onto your street, right? Mm-hmm. And it looks like a water main might have busted, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you need to make sure that the water department is aware of that. And so our 311 call center will be able to function as part of that kind of conductor of those types of calls and get a rapid response, but a response that does not need to be on the shoulders of our public safety departments.
What do you think makes Tucson unique right now?
You know, I think that Tucsonans are a pretty remarkable group of folks. And I say that as, you know, not an original Tucsonan. I was born in Baton Rouge, but I've lived here for 17 years, and I don't think y'all are ever going to be able to get rid of me. And the reason for that is because of just the depth of compassion, the desire of Tucsonans to make sure that we're doing right and doing better, especially by those who are most vulnerable in our community. And I think that the move to create the Community Safety, Health, and Wellness Program by our city leaders, by our mayor and council, is a really good expression of that. And so one of the things that we're doing right now is to really try and be smart and savvy with our resources to identify how we can bring in and improve coordination both internally, but also with our external partners. So how can we make sure that, you know, some of the organizations in town that are doing really great work around behavioral health needs, that they're able to start to partner with us through the responses that we can provide as an alternative to police and fire, right? So as we're building out these additional processes, are we able then to make important linkages to excellent partners who are providing great services, but who otherwise wouldn't come into the scope of our emergency 911 response system?
The issue of fentanyl is huge right now, isn't it?
Of course.
So what's your office doing about that?
We've been working closely recently with our Pima County Health Department leadership, who really, I think, are at the front of looking at best solutions to the fentanyl epidemic happening in Tucson and throughout southern Arizona. I have been working as a strategic partner to help to assist them. I mean, obviously, the city of Tucson has a significant we experience a lot of the impact of fentanyl within the county, and so we do have an important role to play, both in terms of providing knowledge as well as resources and being at the table to help solve this challenge. Some of the work that we have already going includes, you know, overdose prevention efforts. And increasingly, my program is really working to improve prevention strategies. So how do we try and get ahead of needing to mitigate harm due to addiction, right? How do we try and prevent that from occurring? And so thinking about how we can get out into the community to provide additional tools to families, to adults who work in youth-serving organizations, et cetera, I think is a really good avenue for significant return on investment, for sure. But also an area where we haven't been as strong as we could be.
We're speaking with Dr. Sarah Laudius, who is the Community Safety, Health, and Wellness Program Director. She operates out of the city manager's office. It's a relatively new program and really innovative in community safety in so many ways, Dr. Laudius, because part of your work is getting the work done, the problem into the right hands. And that really is a new service model approach, isn't it, in public safety?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Chief Chad Kazmar has really, he likes to say it's the right work in the right hands. I would add to that, too, it can also be the right response at the right time. And these two are really intimately connected, right? So there are ways for us as a city where we can try and think about preventing the events that lead someone to have an emergency that requires calling 911. Again, that preventative work. But also when it is a 911 call, how do we make sure that it's the best response? And there are absolutely calls that would be made where you want a commissioned firefighter to show up, right? Your house is on fire. Yeah. That's who you want to see.
Yep. Yep.
But they also get sent to a lot of calls that don't require that specialty skill set that they have. And of course, the same can be said for our police partners, right? For decades, we have asked them to do more and more and more, and not always with sufficient resources or training. And you know, our partners who work in patrol at TPD will be the first to say, hey, you know, I want to be able to lean upon community safety, health, and wellness. I want to be able to lean upon our nonprofit partners in the community more often. How can we make that happen? And so that's a lot of the work that we're doing is building out these systems where whether it's a co-response or a second response. So what I mean by that is it might be a follow-up after our police or fire individuals come into contact with someone who they know really has some unmet needs and might need some additional advocacy and support connecting with the right care. You know, we have been increasingly building out additional avenues so that we can provide that type of support, but also working with our 911 call center to provide direct connections to folks who are very reliant on our 911 system to try and help make sure that they can connect to meaningful and sustainable.
And it really
supports.
Frees up the police department to do police work, doesn't it?
100%. And that's the goal, yeah. Right? So, you know, we can look at the large number of calls that come in that are nonviolent and non-criminal in nature. Mm-hmm. And in most situations, we can identify either a variation on the mm-hmm. response or an alternative response that would provide a good outcome for the resident and ideally free up our commissioned police and fire to be able to do what we really need and expect them to be able to do.
We're going to pause right here. More with Dr. Sarah Laudius, Community Safety, Health, and Wellness Program Director in the City of Tucson, the City Manager's Office. This is our Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Laudius. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at moesgallery.com. Our one-on-one interview is with Dr. Sarah Lanius, Community Safety, Health, and Wellness Program Director in the City of Tucson City Manager's Office. This is a relatively new program created by the City Manager and the Mayor and Council about a year ago, really looking at kind of the urban landscape. How do we make Tucson a better place? I think that's kind of the bottom line, isn't it, Dr. Lanius? And I want to talk a little bit about getting back to the whole 911 diversion. Somebody calls and says, "Well, I see this homeless encampment." Is that an area there where the police would go out, or is that an example of where you and your team can get involved?
Yeah, thank you, Bill. That's a great question. So we do get those types of calls coming in to the 911 call center for sure. And generally that, unless there is someone's safety is in question immediately, then that would not trigger a police response at all. Rather, it would wind up going towards our encampment reporting process, which then would trigger for outreach workers to go and engage with individuals, assess the needs, and then to do follow-up as needed, whether connecting folks with services and or supporting some cleanup efforts, et cetera.
Gun violence is, of course, a huge issue. How does your team fit into that piece of the puzzle?
Yeah, you know, we have found in the city of Tucson that a great deal of the gun violence that occurs happens in very few locations, or it connects back to very few locations. And so really at the leadership of our Tucson Police Department, The city has launched an effort called Place Network Investigation, which is really trying to understand some of these locations that are historically hotspots for gun violence. And while Tucson Police Department, because they tend to be a very progressive police force and have really excellent relationships with academic partners, they were able to bring this opportunity toward us. But I want to make clear that it is a citywide effort. And led by Mike Ortega, the city manager, to make sure that all of the departments within the city are part of the solution here and thinking about how do we fundamentally change some of the underlying conditions that support ongoing cycles of gun violence. So for the Community Safety, Health, and Wellness Program, we've had the benefit of being able to do some of the community-facing work in areas that have experienced, really, we're talking historic disinvestment, and with it then, cycles of violence and poverty. You know, it's important to say, too, that when you're living proximate to intensive gun violence, that can bring a lot of trauma for residents. So in addition to working with partners to bring in some opportunities around healing and accessing services, whether through faith communities or, you know, nonprofit providers, we are also doing a lot of community leadership development and building work. And I want to be clear that in each of these areas, there are community leaders already, but they might not be leaders that would be visible to city departments. And so we're really doing a lot of that relationship work to help create a greater sense of stability. And this is possible because our police department has done initial work to kind of cool out the gun violence and allow for a space where we are now able to really think about prevention and sustaining that prevention work along with community members.
And Dr. Lanius, it makes sense to me that you identify where there is a high crime area, and then you look at this, as you say, these are many places that have been historically, there's been underinvestment in these places. I'm sure if you've lived in Tucson long enough, you've kind of got an image of what some of those places might look like. But you're going to actually to these places to figure out how can we cool things off a little bit. Isn't that kind of the bottom line?
Yeah, absolutely. And then to keep it cool,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I think sometimes that can be a bit of a challenge, right? And it has to do with how do you help to really create sustainable stability, both for our individual households, but also for entire community blocks.
How about these community safety academies? You're trying to get the public more involved in them. What are they? And if there's a group of people that would like to have you or somebody from the team talk to them, how do they go about that?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the question, Bill. We are just coming off of our very first Community Safety Academy that we did for residents along the 29th Street corridor in the month of May. And, you know, the academy themes were really developed through conversations with community members and what we were hearing from them that they wanted and needed. And so what we did in that instance, I think, is a good example of some of the types of approaches that we can bring to bear. But we had a session with partners from the National Alliance for Mental Illness in Southern Arizona, or NAMI Southern Arizona, and Hope Inc. on mental health and substance use. We had a really informative session with homeless service providers in the city, and we were able to guide residents through a de-escalation training and also through a training on crime prevention through environmental design. So really that just means looking at ways that you can alter the spaces around your own home or on your block so that it discourages inappropriate behavior and welcomes the kind of behavior that you want to see. we had a really great response from residents that came. We had over 50 residents each time. And so we're really excited to expand upon this type of approach and work with neighbors to deliver it. So if that's something that folks who are listening are interested in, I would very much encourage you to reach out to the program. You can find us online, but you can also email us at communitysafety@tucsonaz.gov or call us at 791-4554.
Sarah Lanius, a pleasure to talk with you. You have your PhD in geography, and geography can cover a lot of things, can't it? One-on-one people. I mean, it's just, you think of geography in a traditional sense. This is kind of not the traditional sense, correct?
Well, you know, it's about all of the ways that we interact with the places around us.
Our space.
Absolutely. And so it can be a little bit of everything, for
and
sure.
And that's what you're doing, right? A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. And you hope to, you know, the intention is always to zero in ways that can make a real difference.
Dr. Lanius, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Dr. Sarah Lanius, Community Safety, Health, and Wellness Program Director for the City of Tucson, operating out of Mike Ortega's office, the city manager. Mike will be with me in studio Friday. He'll be our Friday Focus interview. The Monday One-on-One is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with Keith Rosenblum with our monthly border report right after this.
CBS News Brief, the White House is reacting to news that a Chinese naval vessel came close to an American destroyer Saturday near Taiwan. Spokesman John Kirby today.
It won't be long before somebody gets hurt. That's the concern with these unsafe and unprofessional intercepts.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona.
all made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the first full week of June, and hope everybody is off to a good week start so far. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, perfect time of year to put some beautiful color in your garden here as we anticipate the summer rains coming in a couple of weeks. So great time of year to go over to Green Things, get your garden all ready for the summer monsoon. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business, Zocalo Village, all that beautiful much of it handcrafted merchandise from Mexico, including beautiful Talavera pottery. ZocaloVillage.com, Green Things in their 52nd or 53rd year of business. Anyway, they've been in business a long time. They're open daily. Time for our monthly border report with longtime border observer reporter Keith Rosenblum. Keith, how are you, sir?
Observing on your behalf, Bill Buckmaster.
Oh, good. Keep observing. That's what we pay you for. Only joking, of course. The migrant influx has not materialized in Arizona. Everyone was very worried that there would be this, when Title 42 ended, there would be this huge influx of migrants. Generally, that hasn't happened, Keith Rosenblum.
Well, Bill Buckmaster, you were worried about it, and so were a lot of other people. But if I go back 1 month to our last encounter, you'll recall that Keith Rosenblum said, quit making such a big ado out of it.
Yep.
It is not.
Yep, you
and
did.
So once
you
again, I prophesize, and once again shows you why you and your listeners need to walk in, what's the word, march in. What's that phrase? I can't even think of the cliche anymore.
What?
March in lockstep with me
there
on every issue of our day. It was not an issue at that time. I saw it was not an issue at that time. And, you know, you and I, we go back to Simpson-Mazzoli and these all these dire predictions. We love dire predictions, Bill. So when it comes to dire predictions, count Keith Rosenblum out. And let's talk about the way things are in Mexico generally and not these issues du jour that give us cause for a temporary panic, maybe an adrenaline rush, and then it's, oh, well, it wasn't that big an issue after all. So, no, it did not materialize, and it won't materialize. And we have what most of us would consider to be the right equilibrium between a huge border patrol, an immigration system that's broken but seems to work enough, and Mexicans doing their job both at the southern border and at the northern border, and in a Mexican economy that can do an awful lot to absorb a Central American and a South American workforce that's looking for something and either gets kicked back into Mexico from the U.S. or never makes it to the U.S. but is looking for work. Mexico's economy, buoyant, in a single word.
Mexico's president says he is that Mexican citizens should not worry about being spied upon. However, it does appear there's a domestic spy scandal unraveling south of the border.
As there is in the United States. If you realize that Pegasus, which is the Israeli software, is used by our own FBI and that we have acquired Pegasus and the other renditions of it, and U.S. companies have tried to buy the Pegasus software, making some slight alterations and saying, well, it's okay now because it'll be U.S. owned and not by a foreign power, which is Israel. So, yes, it was used, and Lopez Obrador has said, gee, we really don't know the origins of it, because Pegasus is supposed to just be used by governments. Of course, that was the claim of the Israeli company that sold it to people. I know people who were in Mexico who were offered it by the Israeli salespeople. And in the case of Alejandro Encinas, who is one of the equivalent of an attorney general, so assistant attorney general, who's done very sensitive work, it was on his phone. So they're spying within their ranks. And the question is who's the origin? And Lopez Obrador will have you believe it's the U.S. or CIA or some other agency, and not from within Mexico itself. And there hasn't been released yet. The New York Times is the one that broke the story about the software being used on the assistant attorney general Encinas. He's been mandated. He's been working on those very, both the Guarderia ABC, the nursery in Hermosillo, which actually the anniversary was just 2 days ago, where the 49 kids were killed, the babies were killed 14 years ago, and also the Ayotzinapa investigation. So he had the software on his phone, and they targeted, human rights lawyers and all these people that he had spoken with. And so the Lopez Obrador explanation is, we don't spy on people. My government doesn't. My Secretary of Defense doesn't. So it must be a foreign power. And I guess, you're talking to the absolutely wrong person when it comes to software, but I guess the software could be purchased by the U.S., by our NSA or by our CIA or by some other agency, and put on a Mexican phone. So, yes, it is an issue. Yes, it's going on. What the origins are, whether it's internal Mexico or external U.S. or some other power, they haven't established.
This is Israeli, as you point out, Israeli made. It's a spy tool that has infected literally thousands of cell phones across the world and is licensed to be sold only to governmental agencies. But that's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Just keep it to governmental agencies.
Well, there's no such thing. I mean, really. Really, Bill, since I've been reading all of your messages with the Pegasus that I was able to get on.
You got it, Pegasus.
I have one drab life. I can't even figure out why I went ahead and had it placed on yours. But correct. It is being used. And anytime there's something like that, it's going to be abused. That was the software, actually, if memory serves, and I believe it does. I think that's the Hamad. What's his name? The name of the Saudi dissident who was chopped up at the embassy in Turkey, who was the writer also for the Washington Post, that the Saudis used that software to track him. So, again, the ironies of, and this has always been true in the Middle East, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So the Israeli technology winds up being used by, what's the guy's name, Salem Ben, whichever his name, the leader of Saudi Arabia. Anyway. He's using an Israeli software because that's really a great idea to be able to have your phone converted into your treacher, your traitor itself. Your phone, you don't need to activate anything. Your phone lets me know where you are, what you're doing, and you don't have to opt into anything. It tells me, and it actually will flip on for me to record you as well. These were all the things that people guaranteed would never occur. In software, we always assumed that you would have to click on something for a file to, extrapolate and then activate things. But it turns out there's a passive software that can actually be used, and that's the Israelis. And the Israelis are geniuses when it comes to stuff like that.
All right. Well, let's pause right here. It's Keith Rosenblum and our monthly border report. More with Keith after we take a break in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. More with Keith Rosenblum right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
You're listening to Bill Buckmaster. The Ramsey Show is coming up at 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you. Silver City and one of our great sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive. Check it out. Good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. Find out about all the things to do and some great places to stay as well. It's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Joining us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our border reporter with our monthly border report, Mexico, Keith Rosenblum, had been in Category 2 when it comes to being airline safety. So it looks like Aeromexico will be now upgraded to Category 1, which is a good thing. What was that all about, Keith?
Well, in the case of the airlines, I'm not sure that I know, but what we're talking about, I believe, is actually the airports of Mexico. In other words, we downgraded our DOT, or FAA, downgraded Mexico because we said their security apparatus wasn't in place. So what that meant was it meant that we leveled off and would not approve any more flights into their I think this was just Mexico City. I don't know if it was national. It might have been national, but at least I know it was Mexico City, which was the important one. I think Cancun is just saturated anyway, and they've got several new airports under construction, the biggest one being, I think, Tulum, to relieve some of the Cancun traffic. But anyway, to your question, we regularly have people from our DOT go to foreign airports and look at the integrity of security. So they look where there could be drugs taking in, where there would be the possibility of security compromises. They actually do a physical reconnaissance of the property. Then they go examine all of the baggage areas and all the cargo areas. And so Mexico had, it wasn't really a question of failure. It was a question of it not
meeting the expectations of DOT. So, for example, Benito Juarez, which is the principal airport and the one that has, you know, is vast. It is to Mexico what a combination really of maybe like Atlanta and Chicago O'Hare would be to Mexico. And then in the case of the new airport, which is Felipe Ángeles, and that's about an hour drive from the current Mexico City airport from Benito Juarez, it was given no approval at all. So The only international carrier there is whatever it is from Venezuela. I can't remember the name of the airline, but the Mexicans, and this is a really interesting point because Lopez Obrador makes reference to it. This is actually, it came out in the, during the Miami trial of Garcia Luna, who used to be the Secretary of Security under the, during the administration of Felipe Calderon. And what came out during the trial was the following. It was fascinating. It was that when drugs would come in from South America, it was what they called a code 45 or something like that. Don't quote me on the number. But what it meant was that the traditional security was to be put to one side for an incoming flight from the south. It didn't happen to flights from the north, and it didn't happen to domestic flights. But if you go back to this part of the trial where they're testifying, or where I'm trying to remember who it was that was testifying, but they explained that Mexico City Airport was completely compromised when it came to drug shipments. The interesting thing is it was not compromised when it came to security, you know, to other security issues. No one was ever going to hijack an aircraft. So Lopez Obrador makes reference to this constantly in his press conferences. Today was number 1,131. And as you know, Bill, I've lost my marbles.
You watch him every Monday through Friday.
And I now speak with, I do. And so not that any of your listeners would ever want to punish themselves or anyone else, but I know his mannerisms. I know his speech. I know his pauses. I know his expressions. It really is an obsession that I have with the Mexican president, and I follow all these details. Today, I missed probably an hour of it, but it was an hour and a half conference. And what you have to understand is it's not him musing the whole time. That is a lot of it, but it's also him having his cabinet there talking about other things that are going on. So, for example, today was both an update on the seven routes of the new train, the Mayan train, that goes through Campeche State, Quintana Roo, and Yucatan, and is going to be a fabulous tourist attraction that he says, and everybody does believe, will be completed by the end of this year, I believe. So It's fabulous, a fabulous system. And the guy deserves to get credit where credit is due. He deserves lots of not credit, but in this particular thing. So today was a presentation on, you know, status report. They give you a status report on Mexico's domestic oil reserves. They tell you about Social Security. He has, in other words, this is a society that in one administration, and remember it's a six-year, they call it a sexenio, six-year term, this has gone from being a society that was scarcely informed or rarely informed or sometimes malinformed by its executive branch to being one that says, please, can you just like not tell us so much? So the guy, Monday through Friday, is literally burying you in detail. And it can sometimes be minutia. But you know what they do that today, not today, rather on Monday, this guy named Ricardo Sheinfeld, who works, I don't know what his position is, but you know what he does? For the better part of 15 minutes or sometimes longer, he tells you about the gas prices in the country.
What?
They basically, they basically tell you I'm telling you, it's somewhere between a comedy and a tragedy, but it's also truthful. They'll tell you they're keeping a watchful eye on gas prices throughout the country, because one of Lopez Obrador's points of pride is that gas prices during his administration have not gone up. They haven't gone up. So he'll tell, and then they punish the, because there's a certain amount of flexibility in pricing gas, or diesel or kerosene, things like that, they'll tell you who it is that's ripping you off. It's like a consumer attorney general run amok. They tell you, here's what this gas station is charging in, you know, Merida. Here's what this gas station is charging in Casas Grande, if you're at Chihuahua. It's painstaking, but the guy does this every week. And in fact, to their credit, they introduced something that I found to be fascinating as well. They actually started to explain to Mexicans who is who when it comes to money transfers. because when the Buckmasters, you know, send money to somebody in Mexico, let's say you send $100, you want to know how much of that money is actually going to the person.
Yeah.
And we think it's $100, and guess what? It ain't. Depending on who the agency is, whether it's MoneyGram, Western Union, or all these other entities that offer money transfers, it could be as much as, you know, $96 or $97. And it can be as little as, you know, $85. So the idea that you would have the federal government devoting this amount of time and energy to looking at consumer laws, it's consumer law and consumer habits is great. There's a certain things that this guy does that are absolutely in touch with the masses, and certain things where he's every bit as detached and as delusional as Trump was.
What are his popularity numbers, the polling? Is the polling reliable, Keith Rosenblum, in Mexico?
Yes, it is. The polls are not compromised. I mean, obviously, people find pollsters who are pimps and will go ahead and tell people what they want to hear and will promote themselves. But no, the polling in Mexico is absolutely plausible, and they have the same, you know, plus or minus 3% for statistical error. It's a reliable process, and it's good. And his ratings have declined to where they've declined from astronomical numbers. So it's in lots of ways, it should be inevitable that they would decline. But I think they're right around the upper 50s, maybe 60%. But as we are, we're a fickle people as well. And we, you know, bring our people down 5% and 10% in a month when something happens. So it's quite possible also that López Obrador will, you know, he could start a major decline any time. But right now, there's no sign of it. Right now, the peso, as you and I have discussed on, well, I'd say the last 5 years, the peso is the one currency in the world that has appreciated immensely against the dollar. It is now, when I was in Nogales 2 days ago, the buy was 16.8 and the sell was like 17.4, 16.8 pesos to purchase a dollar and 17.4 to sell a dollar, or in reverse anyway. But the spread is like 50 or 60 centavos, about, you know, the equivalent of 3 cents maybe. So the currency is very, very stable. It has appreciated, you know, I want to say like 15%. Is that right? 3/20ths, you know, like 15% against the dollar. And it's stable. So if you're going to set up business in Mexico, you know, you don't have to deal with any of the traditional, you know, worries about the stability of the peso. It's rock solid, and this is one of the things that people least expected from his administration.
Who is the heir apparent to Mr. López Obrador? Obrador, excuse me.
There is none. Backtrack. There are three potential. Two are serious. The other, and you always have to allow room for a wild card. The next president, if the election were held today, and we're, you know, the election, actually the real election is in a year, it's in June of 24. But if the election were held today, it would be one of two people. And they're both fascinating studies in the intellectual best of that Mexico has to offer. One is Marcelo Ebrard, E-B-R-A-R-D, who is a former governor of the city of Mexico, the, you know, state that comprises the city. And Ebrard is a brilliant man who's now their foreign minister and has been with López Obrador, locked at the hip for 20 years on all sorts of issues, and is himself a marvelous speaker, a geopolitical guy who knows everything going on in the world, who's been, to my way of thinking, has been great for the Mexican Foreign Service, kind of under López Obrador's, you know, wing. Maybe too much, maybe we'll get to see him in a different light if he becomes president, but right now he has to tow all the baggage and all the policy stuff of the president. And the second person, but with an equal chance of getting the nomination from Morena. And if you get the nomination from Morena, the party, that is, it's a very good bet that you're going to become president, because the party has made enough inroads that it has the presidency to lose, put it that way, a year from now. Anyway, the second person is Claudia Sheinbaum. And if that name sounds odd for a Mexican, it's because it is odd for a Mexican. She's a physicist who graduated from the University of California, Berkeley.
Quickly, Keith, we're about out of time.
Jewish,
yeah.
Beg your pardon?
Well, quickly, we're anyway, about. I've got a few seconds.
Very good. Claudia Sheinbaum would be a remarkable, a Jewish woman president would be the both a first for both categories for the country, and she's a dynamite diplomat, dynamite speaker, and has done great things for the city of Mexico.
Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thanks, Keith. Have a great day.
My pleasure.
All right, everybody, have a great day.